Pastor Jeff explains what the word Jew means and how the Jews came about. That's on today's edition of Sound Doctrine, starting now.
Jew is just someone who is joyful in the Lord. A Jew is full of joy because they have a relationship with God. That's it. That's a Jew. You know, a lot of people think, well, God created Jews and Gentiles. Well, yeah, he did create them, but they began in the beginning with Abraham, who was a pagan. And God just made him a Jew, joyful in a relationship with God through his faith in his God.
Discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart, Lord, give me understanding. Open your word unto life, the cure in me. I know you've got plans for me.
What was true of Abraham is true of the Christian today. Because Abraham believed God's promise, God accounted his faith for righteousness. And the same is true for each and every Christian today as well. As we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, God accounts righteousness to us just as he did Abraham. Pastor Jeff shows that while the Jewish leaders accepted Abraham as their father, they fought the shift that walking by faith presented with God. With more, let's open to Acts chapter 7 for our study titled Resisting Change Part 3 for our time in Sound Doctrine.
Plans to improve, correct my soul. Plans to transform, make me whole. Lord, your word is truth, give me understanding.
And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him when as yet he had no child. You know, I mean, this is a whole thing of faith, isn't it? God's promises, it's going to go to you and it's going to go to your children. And God spoke this wise that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage. Now we're talking about going into that strange land called Egypt, where they would be brought into bondage, and he would entreat evil 400 years. He would allow them to go through incredible slavery. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage to, I will judge, God says. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. So he's talking to the religious hierarchy. He's standing there, surrounded by these guys. And he's given them this Bible study that is so powerful, anointed by God's Spirit to go like a two-edged sword into their heart and begin to cut them. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. See, these guys are following him every step because he's talking their language. He's talking what they understand. Circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him in the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. I like that last part. God was with him. So to the Jew, this is their history. Our fathers, they had respect for the dead. And they always, you know, they would go to the tomb to pray, and to them, going to the grave, to the tomb, was a holy thing. Because when you went to the tomb to pray, you became holy in doing that. And they looked to it as something very special. In Hebron, Abraham, the 12 sons, were buried. In Bethlehem, Rachel has her tomb there. In fact, women who can't have children go to Rachel's tomb and wail because they're infertile, and they pray that God will give them a baby at Rachel's tomb. They touch the grave and, you know, the tomb and everything. And so in Jerusalem, Mount Zion is David's tomb. That's where they believe that he ended up, there on Mount Zion. And the Jews pray there faithfully three times a day. And those Jews in that area will go there, and we've been there many times, and they're all praying. And as you walk in, and this is their way of holiness. This is their way of a relationship with God. Stephen, though, led by the Holy Spirit, reveals all about our fathers. And that's a very important little phrase there. Abraham was just a man. Being a descendant of him is not a spiritual experience. It's not. He's just a man. He was a pagan man. In fact, over in John chapter 8, verse 39, let me read it to you. He says, and he answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So Jesus is kind of rebuking them, saying, because they're saying, oh, he's our father. Well, then why aren't you doing what he did? And then down in verse 44, it says, you, Jesus said, looking at them, your father is the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Man, Jesus really let him have it, didn't he? You think they enjoyed that little rebuke? I mean, that was hitting home. That's why they said, we got to take care of this guy. We got to remove him because he's going around speaking like this. They couldn't stand it. So through faith in Christ, and this is Abraham, he had faith in God. He stepped out. He stepped into the promise. He came to the land. He came to that land that God promised and made Abraham the father of the Jewish faith. What's Jew mean? Jew is just someone who is joyful in the Lord. A Jew is full of joy because they have a relationship with God. That's it. That's a Jew. You know, a lot of people think, well, God created Jews and Gentiles. Well, yeah, he did create them, but they began in the beginning with Abraham, who was a pagan. And God just made him a Jew, joyful in a relationship with God through his faith in his God. That's how it all began. And so he's giving them things that they don't really study that much, things that they didn't pick up on as they were going through their daily readings. Now, it's the same way. I mean, when we talk about a faith in Christ, when we have a faith in Christ, we are saved. If you believe in him and ask him, confess your sin, ask him to come in, he'll come into your life and you'll be transformed. You'll be changed. Because God has no grandchildren, all right? He only has children. To as many as receive Christ, they become the children of God. And there's no getting around it. You can't go through your grandmother or your mother or your dad. I mean, everybody's got to come. And everyone has to be what? Born again. Over in John chapter 1, in verse 11, it says, and he came to his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave the power to become the children of God. While which were born, not of blood, they weren't born again because they were blood bought, you know, or they were blood bought, but I'm not talking about, you know, because you're a certain type of person. No, it wasn't by your blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It wasn't a fleshly thing. It wasn't that you willed it, but he says, you were born of God, by God. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Christ. God sent his Son. He had a plan. How to change sinful man from darkness to light. From the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. That's amazing. It's the same way with Joseph. He was sold by our fathers, and he was rejected as the type of Christ. And that's what Stephen is trying to say here. There's jealousy going on here. But God was with him. God was with our patriarchs. God was with them. And that's the difference. They didn't have a temple. They didn't need a temple because God was what? He was with them. But then that whole thing of circumcision is interesting. Oh, I've been circumcised, so I'm a Jew. Well, not really. No, that doesn't make you a Jew. Circumcision is of the heart. Remember Romans chapter 2, verse 28? For he is not a Jew, or say a Christian in this verse, which is one outwardly by circumcision, neither is that circumcision which is an outward of the flesh, but he is a Jew, a true Jew, a true praise to God. He is a true Christian, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, talking about the law, whose praise is not of men but of God. Man, when you make your peace with God, he takes you as one of his. You're my child. And he just keeps us. We get this relationship going, and it just gets better and better every day. And it's awesome. Now, look at verse 10. He says, and he delivered him out of all his afflictions. Okay, look at this. This is awesome. Gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's Joseph. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. I mean, he did all of this. I mean, gosh, he was in that pit, I think about 3 days, when his brothers threw him in the pit wanting to kill him and get rid of him. They were so jealous of him. They put blood on his robe and brought it home to dad and said, he's dead. And they sold him to the slave trade. But notice, God was with him. Isn't that really what we're looking for? Emmanuel? God with me. God is with me. Now, there came a dearth, a famine over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction. And our fathers found no substance. They're hurting. They're not eating. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers, the 12, or the 11 actually. Actually, it was only 10 because he kept back one. First, and it says, and at the second time, see, the first time rejected. The second time, Joseph was made known unto his brethren. Remember that? They came, and they didn't recognize him because he had a bald head. He had the Egyptian garb on. He had all the Egyptian clothes, and they didn't even recognize that that's their brother that they sold into slavery, until he came and said, I'm your brother. And they hit the ground, man. They blew it. And he was made known of his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Uh-oh. Pharaoh found out now. Everybody's in the know now. Then set Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 70 souls, 75 people. He brought the whole family. So Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died. He and our fathers, sons of Jacob, were buried in Shechem. They removed their bodies, and they took them into the land because they didn't want them buried in Egypt. And they were carried over to Shechem and laid the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, father of Shechem. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abram, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. So we got a problem here. That God's timing, you know, it's just like, it reminded me of how the church, the early church began, because God's timing, it just exploded. Just, they were multiplying everywhere like rabbits. Look at these Christians, they're everywhere. They're going and they're telling they're upsetting the whole thing. We got to do something about this. Well, now in Goshen, which is interesting. Did you know that in Goshen, the Egyptians never went? They just stayed away from them. They isolated themselves. So this was great slavery because they isolated themselves because they didn't want to get their diseases or whatever. You know, they said, no, those are the lower class. Those are people you don't want to even get into. And God brought them there just because he knew that they would be able to multiply there to the point of, you know, being a threat to Pharaoh. Until another king came and arose, verse 18, which knew not Joseph. So under Joseph, things were fine, but then it changed. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children. They were killing the children, smashing the babies on rocks, and to the end that they might not live. I mean, it was horrible. Just the incredible onslaught against them. Even in famine, God is in control. And that's what Stephen is saying here. God was still with them. God's in control. And remember in Genesis 50, verse 20. That is a powerful verse. Mark that down. Genesis 50, 20 says, Joseph is speaking, and he says, you meant it evil against me to throw me in that pit. And you thought you were just going to, you know, and then sell me to the slave train. And you thought, I'm dead. I'll never show back up again. But God turned it around to save many alive in Egypt, to cause a revival to take place, to cause God's children to grow and to prepare them for the land. So you see, he's kind of setting them up here and giving them this information to continue to minister to them. Now notice verse 20, he says, in which time Moses was born. Now we move along to Moses, and he was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was cast out, which is an interesting term, cast out, what do you mean? Well, he was put into an ark, wasn't he? Why? Because they were killing all the babies of a certain age, the male babies. Why? Because the Pharaoh wanted to snuff out these people. He wanted to get rid of them, which is interesting because Noah had an ark, didn't he? And it was pitched. And so this little baby boat that Moses was in was pitched with pitch and made just like the ark. And guess who's the ark today? Jesus. Are you in the ark? I mean, that's a special place to be in. The ark in God's heart. Have you pleased the Lord with your life? Have you given your heart to Jesus? And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him, kind of a doctor's term, of made sure that he was taken care of for her own son. His mother nursed him for 3 years. Didn't even know, just grabbed this Egyptian woman who was really close to the whole situation and ended up being with him 3 years. 3 years with your child is a very key thing. I mean, those 3 years causes the child to form everything that he's going to be when he's older. You don't think that when they're 3 years old. You don't think that when you're nurturing them and growing them and speaking to them and singing with them and ministering to them and praying them through sickness or whatever, laying your hands on them, saying, God, you know, let's dedicate our baby. You know, this is important. Why? Because Jesus was dedicated. And it's special. And God just blesses that. But we know what happened. Verse 22, Moses was learned in all the wisdom and the Egyptians in the mighty words and in deeds. It's interesting. He gave Moses mighty words. Because remember in the wilderness when the Lord said, I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh. He goes, I can't speak. I stutter. Aaron will speak for me. Remember? And he'll be my mouthpiece. And for a while there, it worked all right, you know. But he said, I'm slow of speech and I can't speak. Well, man, he's mighty in words now. God's raising him up. And when he was full 40 years old, man, 40 years in the world. Oh, man, you could get damaged by that. I think I was damaged in 20 years. And it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffering wrongfully, he defended him, and he avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. So all of a sudden he's coming to this realization, I want out of here. This is not my home. This is not my people. He came to that realization and he thought, oh, now's my time. And he started to care after what was going on in his society. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they didn't understand. You know, that's an interesting verse, 25. It's not in Exodus. We only learn it right here in the New Testament. He thought they would understand. Jesus came to his own didn't know him. They cast him out, they crucified him. So he's just building the case here of just sharing about our fathers. Well, let's find out about our fathers. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set him again, saying, sirs, you are brethren. What are you doing? Why do you wrong one another? So he's seeking to bring reconciliation. Well, that's exactly what Jesus came to do, to turn the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers, to bring reconciliation to families, to relationships, to heal the brokenhearted, to minister to those that are hurting inside, and to take our aches and soothe us by his comfort, by the Holy Spirit, which brings us comfort in horrible times of pain. And you think, you know, I'll never make it, but the Lord is there. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, hey, who made you ruler and a judge over us? So here's the rejection of the deliverer. You see, he's building it. They rejected their deliverer. What are you doing? Remember when they said, we have no king. You know, behold your king. And Jesus was brought out all wasted, all beat up. Behold your king. We have no king but Caesar. You know, I mean, whoa, let his blood be upon us and our children. Wow, why did you even say that? Look at how the Jews suffered over the history. I mean, unbelievable. Over in Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, let me read that to you. Hosea 5:15, I will go and return to my place, God is speaking here, till they acknowledge their offense, their rejection of their Messiah, and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early.
Pastor Jeff shows how Stephen is building a case where the Jews are able to see through their own history how their people have continually rejected the prophets that God sent and their messages, culminating with Jesus the Messiah. May we take heed to those whom the Lord sends our way so that we won't be guilty of ignoring the word of the Lord for our lives specifically. And if the Lord's encouraged you in our time in the Word and you'd like to have your very own copy of the study, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-353-7553. And when you do, please make mention of the study name, which is Resisting Change Part 2. Also mention the study number, which is 17320. Or if you like, you can go online and order from our Sound Doctrine Radio website. The web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. We'd also invite you to take a look at our Sound Doctrine Radio website for a multitude of other studies and study aids in your time in the Word. From Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, Pastor Jeff has been sharing God's Word in length and depth. There at sounddoctrineradio.com, he also offers a broad range of topical studies for everything we experience in the Christian life. Marriage and the family, spiritual warfare, and so much more. That web address is sounddoctrineradio.org. Sound Doctrine is a ministry of Calvary Chapel of Downey. It's supported by generous listeners like you. If you'd like to be a part of this outreach ministry touching lives for the kingdom, go to sounddoctrineradio.org and click on the donate button. When you do, God will use your resources to further God's kingdom and making disciples through sound doctrine.
Sometimes when we pray, we're not sure if it's effective. Yet, your God in heaven answers the prayers that you've offered. Prayers of blessing for your own life and for others. He only asks for one thing in return. Are you willing to surrender yourselves absolutely into His hands? Legendary author and Bible teacher Andrew Murray provides wise counsel that will enable you to take a giant step closer to God as you begin your journey into perfect peace and trust. Discover the joys of absolute surrender to our loving Father today. And it's available for a suggested donation of $8, which includes shipping and handling. Simply call us at 1-800-353-7553 or go to our radio website. The address is sounddoctrineradio.org. And allow God to show you the blessings and effectiveness of a rich prayer life that comes from absolute surrender. May your heart, mind, and entire life be so built on sound doctrine, you're filled with God's Spirit overflowing with His love and convictions from His Word.
Lord, your Word is truth. Give me understanding. Give me understanding.